first you told us only through you could we know God, and if we dared to question, he wouldn't spare the rod. For you we worked the soil, for you we dug the moors, for you we shed our blood and fought so many pointless wars. Now you try to tell us there's nothing we can do. You say the world around us belongs fairly to the few, but about 6 billion people no doubt will agree this world is our home, not your property. It's the commons, our right of birth. And you who would enclose the land all around the earth, our future is your downfall when we cut this ball and chain. You who sacrifice the public good for your private gain. With our sweat we built the railroads, built cities on these shores. But because you own the money, you say that it's all yours. We laid the phone lines and the pipelines, and then right before our eyes, you say these things are taxes paid for. You now will privatize. Privatize the hospitals, privatize the schools, privatize the prisons for all those who break your rules. And preparing for the day when all the wells run dry, you say you own the very rain that falls down from the sky. But it's the commons, our right of birth. And you who'd own the water all around the earth, our future is your downfall when they cut this ball and chain. You who'd sacrifice the public good for your private gain. Claim to own the harvest with your Terminator seeds. You claim to own the genomes of every animal that breeds. You claim to own our culture and the music that we play. And with each song that we download to your coffers we must pay. You even own my name and you'd say it's for the best. Maybe you'll let us on your radio if our songs can pass your test. You own country, you own Western, you say you've given us a choice. You may own the airwaves, but you'll never own my voice. It's the commons, our right of birth. And you who'd own the music all around the earth, our future is your downfall when you cut this ball and chain. You who'd sacrifice the public good for your private gain. It's the commons, our right of birth. And you who would own everything all around the earth, future is your downfall, only cut this ball and chain. You who'd sacrifice the public good for your private gain.
Good evening and welcome to Corporations and Democracy for February 15th, 2023. This is the program that examines how corporations dominate our democracy and what citizens are doing to replace corporate dominance with true democracy. I'm Steve Scalmanini with co-host Annie Esposito. Today's program will look in depth at a situation that you might have heard about already. Mentioned a little on the air here, but we want to go into some additional depth today. AT&T has applied to the California Public Utilities Commission for targeted relief from its carrier of last resort obligation and some additional certified associate tariff obligation, but it's the carrier of last relief or last resort that concerns us. In practical terms, it means that it will abandon support for most of the wired telephone infrastructure, landlines we refer to them as, and that brings to us many concerns about public safety issues, especially for rural residents of the county. So we asked a couple of guests to join us this evening to discuss the issue. With us is Sheriff Matt Kendall, certainly well known in the county and frequently heard here on KZYX on various issues. And along with us is Loretta Lynch. She's our go-to person for information about the Public Utilities Commission, having been its president a few decades ago. Loretta was a member of the commission for 5 years, 2000 through 2004, being appointed at the time by Governor Gray Davis, after serving as the director of his Office of Planning and Research. She was the president for her first 3 years, that's 2000 through 2002, and then served out her term through the end of 2004. So let's have a look at, will the Public Utilities Commission allow AT&T to abandon landlines in California? Sheriff Matt Kendall, welcome to Corporations and Democracy.
Well, hey, thank you for having me on this evening.
And Loretta Lynch, welcome to the program.
Glad to be here, Steve and Annie.
So maybe we can start with you, Loretta, with your affiliation or former affiliation with the FCC, the PUC. We were visiting a friend, Liz, on the coast the other day, and she had a cell phone and a landline. And she said cell phone she can't use at her house, but they're going to take away her landline. We thought, oh, we better call you and find out what is going on. What's happening? Loretta?
Sure. So last March, March of 2023, AT&T, which as you might remember, it used to be Pac Bell, applied to the PUC to say, hey, we want to stop landline service. So release us from our obligation to provide landline service to whoever we want, wherever we want. The application was so deficient that the PUC itself ordered AT&T to basically beef up its application because it was substantially incomplete, which they did at the end of May. Here's the problem, though. In general, the PUC is supposed to complete every case within 18 months. And the PUC is using this 18-month deadline as a sword to limit public participation and evidentiary hearings. And I'm really quite concerned about that because basically AT&T put in a few pieces of paper. The PUC itself found that it was substantially incomplete. And yet the PUC is keeping that original application date to say, hey, we're only going to have public hearings in three different places. Indio and Mendocino and one other place in the Central Valley. And then we're going to have a couple virtual public participation hearings, and that's it. Mm-hmm. And oh, by the way, since we got to get this done, we're only going to have 3 days of evidentiary hearings, which is laughable for such a huge change. And then finally, there are a couple consumer groups that are trying to fight this closing down of landlines. And they asked the commission for more time to look at AT&T's hundreds of pages of application documents. And the PUC said, yeah, we're not going to give you much more time. We'll give you weeks, when they asked for essentially 3 months. So I put all those things together and I follow the money and I say, wow, this is a railroad job by the PUC. To probably rubber stamp this application and then leave millions of Californians without effective phone service.
Wow, that's really pretty alarming. And I want to come back to some of the things, get some more gory detail about what's wrong with the way the PUC operates. But why don't we ask the sheriff here, what's wrong with that? How is that going to affect what you try to do to keep us all safe?
Well, we had a meeting this afternoon. State Sheriffs, California State Sheriffs Association, provides a platform weekly where we have a discussion regarding legislative changes and things that are going on in the state, and all of us work together to try to best serve. And this was a big topic of conversation. Today we met with Blakeman, from AT&T, and Mr. Blakeman basically explained to us that they were trying to migrate people over to other forms of communication, including cell and including fiber. But myself and Sheriff Corey Honey, the sheriff of Butte County, and if you remember, I had a horrific wildfire in Mendocino County in 2017, and Sheriff Honey had the Camp Fire, which was probably the most tragic fire that the state has ever seen up there, and when we lost the town of Paradise. And both of us kind of had a similar view on this. Number one, I don't think that enough research has been put into this to be able to say whether it's doable. Number two, we're at a point in time where when we have these natural disasters and various things that go on, we have to be in a partnership with the public, and communication is the key to managing any disaster. And by removing any communicated platform, we're getting ready to basically cut off our noses to spite our face. This is something that we can't have. And then the other thing, I keep seeing this trend going across our nation. This trend is that an uninformed majority can be manipulated by a very informed minority. And so these games that are played at times where we need, you know, a year to look at this, but somebody's saying you've got 3 weeks, I don't think that that's acceptable.
One of the things you're saying with it, you need all the platforms, so you think the self-service is important too. One thing that I keep hearing, maybe you could clarify it, is that if there's a caller in trouble and they have a landline, it's easier for the responders to find that person than if they have a cell phone?
Yes, and the other thing is, when we had the Redwood Valley fires in 2017, all of these cell towers were damaged to the point where we couldn't get any cellular service, and our copper lines were the only things that were still working. We have so many calls that come in, especially in Mendocino County, and you have to remember kind of the makeup of Mendocino County. We have a lot of people who retire and decide that they're going to move here because it's beautiful. I mean, it's an incredible place to live. However, unless they're living in an urban center, and, you know, Ukiah, Willits, Boonville, someplace where there's a population, the moment that you leave those places, it's almost like when you hit the town limits, the cell phone stops working, right? And so we have an older population that has moved up here, and we had so many phone calls that we had to stand up a call center because we had their family, their kids, their grandkids calling, I need to check on my grandmother, and I can't get a hold of her. She's got a cell phone. Well, all of the cell service was down in Redwood Valley. The people who historically had the landlines, those were not a problem for us because their family knew that they could call them at home. And those landlines survived. We still had telephone service at the firehouse, whereas none of us first responders who had cells could reach anyone.
So presumably fiber would work both for AT&T and for the emergency responders, but it's too expensive to put in fiber in some rural places. Is that true? Does that click with your experience, Loretta?
Well, here's the deal. The California consumer, have spent the last 100 years paying for AT&T to put in their copper lines all over California. So we've got a great service that works really well, that is available during all sorts of emergencies when cell phones are not. And they want to chuck it and then basically spend a ton more money to put in a different service that may or may not work as well. We don't know, depending on whether they're going to underground those fiber lines or not, whether they're going to survive a wildfire or an earthquake like the copper lines do. And why are we throwing this away? Because it ain't broke. So why are we abandoning it? That's the problem. We've paid for every single dollar plus profits to AT&T to build and maintain this line. Here's the deal. AT&T can't make profits off the copper wires anymore, off the landlines, because they've done what's called fully depreciated the lines, meaning they've made all their profits that they're going to make off those lines. So what they want to do is make more profits. And how do you make more profits? You throw away something that has proven to work well, and you build something more at a very high price. And California can't afford to throw away this amazing system that we've already paid for, that works really well, and is often the only means of communication in an emergency, on a bet and a promise.
That reminds me of one of the arguments that another advocacy group is making, that this is very reminiscent of pulling up all the tracks so that you could have more diesel. Rings a bell there.
Yeah. Well, there's some things, and no business goes into business to lose money, I mean, and I don't think that they should. However, you know, one of the things that the CPUC does is they make a determination, and I'm certain that Loretta can help me through this one, but my understanding is they make a determination about the value of something to the community, and then they also have to think about the profitability of the company who's bringing it, right? But what we aren't hearing is the value that it brings to the community in human life. And that's something that I think has to be considered. So, and when you're in business, I have contractors who work for me that provide all different sorts of things, jail medical, things like that. And I had to tell every one of them, some days are chickens and some days are feathers. All right? That is life when you're in business, right? Mm-hmm. But you don't get to look at your bottom line when you're serving the inmates in county jail. You get to look at the absolute best service that you can provide. And, you know, I'm sorry, that's only people count. We've got to look at that. Profits have got to take a back seat at times, especially when we've had these issues with the wildfires and various other things in this county.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, Sheriff Matt, the issue here is for AT&T, it's a regulated utility. And in California, that means that every single penny of AT&T's costs are guaranteed to be paid by the customer. So they are in absolutely no danger of losing money. The only question that's on the table is how much can they profit? They've profited handsomely for decades as we've paid for these copper lines. And they want two things. They want to abandon the system that we've paid for, that they've received profits on, in favor of a new system that's so much more costly that they can profit again on, but also a new system where they may not be as regulated as they are today with the landlines, because the law is really clear that they are fully regulated when it comes to landlines. Not so clear that they're fully regulated when it comes to cell phones. So it's a twofer for AT&T. They make more profit, they get out from under regulation. But let's be clear, AT&T is not like a regular company. Every single penny of their cost is covered by you and me and every business in California.
Mm-hmm. So the cell phone, they don't really have any regulation to speak of?
Well, they do. Very sadly, the PUC under Arnold Schwarzenegger decided that they were going to do what they called a light touch regulation, which really means no regulation. So the PUC has the legal authority to regulate cell phones, but they choose not to, which is why our cell phone service is so spotty and so bad.
Well, thank you for clarifying that, because we assumed until now that the regulation for cell phone companies was strictly federal then. So the PUC is simply not asserting itself to regulate that particular business then.
Well, the PUC can't regulate prices, but they can regulate service conditions, mm-hmm. and they choose not to. But the feds do regulate the prices. Now, on the landline, the PUC regulates the prices as well. So the PUC has a legal duty to cover the company's costs, every single penny, including executive bonuses and their drivers and their fancy cars. Mm-hmm. That all said, they're going to make less profit if we stick with something that they've already made all the profit from.
Mm-hmm. Now, one question that came up to me preparing for this evening was that AT&T, in theory, the lesser profitable part of the business, the landline business, is possible burden when they're competing with other cellular companies, and that would be a regulation kind of issue, assumedly involving the PUC. How does that play into their situation? Do you know?
Well, it's not a competition. I mean, basically, AT&T gets every single penny of its cost paid for. Mm-hmm. So whether it's $100 or $1,000 or $1 million, we pay for their costs. Bid. So, okay, fine. Let's say that some people do choose just to have a cell phone. That doesn't mean that AT&T isn't getting every single dime of their cost paid for. So it's mm-hmm. not a competition where if they lose a customer, they don't get their cost paid and mm-hmm. they can't pay their people. That's not at all how a regulated utility works. So they've got essentially a monopoly on the landline, and we are obligated under law to pay every of their cost. So I wouldn't say that they're in competition that way.
I wanted to check back with Matt what you were saying about we want the companies to be able to make, you know, their profit and all that, but that people have to come first. Isn't there a pretty good argument that utilities should be in a different category than, you know, shoes or ice cream or something?
Oh, absolutely, and that's why we have the CPUC. Because that is a different category. And, you know, the other thing is we have to look at what works in our rural communities. When we have these major emergencies, there are two things that still work here. And even when the cell phone towers burned up, even when, you know, all of these things were going off the rails in 2017, local radio worked. We were able to get with all of you broadcasters, getting information out. And any time that we ask the public to do something, we put that out on multiple platforms, including reverse 911 to copper lines. Mm-hmm. And so our copper lines worked, our local radio worked, and honestly, that's about all we had at that moment. Mm-hmm. But we were able to get the information out. And then we got into this rhythm with the fires that were outside of Round Valley in 2020. We got into this rhythm where people understood there will be information that is going to come out at 8 o'clock in the morning on our local radio stations, and it was countywide. It was KYBU in Covelo. It was KZYX. It was KMUD, all of the local radio. They got people into a rhythm so they would tune in the morning and they would tune in the afternoon. And updates and everything that we were asking for the public to do, they were able to do it. But we were also sending that out on reverse 911 anytime that there was an emergency. Mm-hmm. Those are the things that people are accustomed to. And then we also have to think about older people. I got my father a cell phone years ago. Actually, my sister did. And I was visiting with him one day. He went up on the hill. He was an outdoorsman. He loved Covelo. That's why he moved there, you know. He left the South Coast and moved to Covelo. And I told him, Dad, you need to call me. You know, if you shoot a buck, you need to call me. Well, and finally, I called him on the phone. Where are you at? He said, well, I'm still up on the hill. I couldn't call you. And I said, why not? He said, it only takes incoming calls. You got to be kidding me. Well, when he came home, he opened up his flip phone and said, look, there's no dial tone.
Wow.
I said, Dad, that's not the way it works. But that's what, I mean, after he was 70 years old. And when he picked up the phone, he expected a dial tone, mm-hmm. right? And so we have to take that into account that some people, myself included, are not super tech savvy. And during times of emergency, are we expecting people to become tech savvy? Everybody can answer a phone.
Right, well, yeah.
The thing here is that during times of emergency, often the power goes out. Yes. We can have a whole other show mm-hmm. on PG&E.
Yeah.
And with online, you do not need electricity for your phone
yes.
to work. Whereas with a phone, eventually you need to charge that cell phone.
Well, and out where I live, the moment the power goes out, I no longer have any internet, and I have to have my home phone because I have zero cell service at my home. I can only get it through the internet. But when the power goes out, my dispatch knows if things go off the rails, you dial my home phone number. And we've got one phone on the wall mm-hmm. that we turn the ringer on when the power goes out. You know, I believe phones run on 48 volts. They are not high voltage. Nobody's going to get hurt with them. Mm-hmm. These are the types of things that we have to think about, especially in our areas where we've got these rural communities and they have relied on these things for, you know, 80, 90, 100
generations,
years.
Yeah.
We also have a lot of dead zones, don't we, where even in the best of times, there's no service. How do you find
and
that
the PUC
all over?
You should regulate that customer yeah. service, don't
well,
you think?
Matt, you must drive in and out of dead zones all day. I mean,
yeah. So. Every time that you leave an area that has a population, and it doesn't matter whether it's Round Valley, Laytonville, Hopland, between Hopland and Ukiah, the moment you get to the strawberry patch, boom, your cell phone is not going to get any communication. And that's only 10 miles. You're going to lose it once or twice in that 10 miles. When you leave Willits and you head up to Laytonville, you're going to lose service roughly in Oilwell Hill. You won't get it back until you hit the Highway 162 turnoff. Mm-hmm. Then you'll have it for about a mile and a half. And then for the next 11 miles, no service. You hit Laytonville, and you have service for about 8 or 9 miles. You start up Rattlesnake, cell service is gone. You hit Leggett and Piercy. You've got cell service right there. There's a cell tower right up the hill in Piercy. But those, when you think about it, with the exception of those populated areas, everything in between has no service.
Yeah, there you go. That's a lot. So all just the big places where people hang out, and as soon as you get to, there's fewer people. You've lost so much. We do have, you know, utilities. It's a life and death thing with the utilities. It's not just, you know, communications. It's, you know, garbage pickup and everything. Sometimes it seems like it would be better if these were publicly owned rather than privately owned, with a bottom line being the most important decision factor. And as Matt points out, we do have the Public Utilities Commission to regulate these private companies like AT&T. But let me ask Loretta, how does PUC work? I know you find flaws with the process.
Sure. So there are five commissioners who are appointed for a term by the governor and confirmed by the state senate. And they regulate all the energy utilities, so the gas company and the electric company. They regulate private water companies, where there's a lot of private water companies in Mendocino County. And they regulate telecommunication companies in a variety of manner, in a variety of ways. So landline service has been deemed an essential service. It's in, well, not landline, but telecommunication services is in the California Constitution as an essential service for modern life. And that was put in the California Constitution in 1911. So if it was essential in 1911, you can imagine how essential it is now. Now, AT&T will say, oh, well, hey, there are some alternatives. We've already talked about the serious problems with cell phones. Cell phones are not an equivalent service to landlines. And neither is voice over IP, because you need electricity for voice over IP, as the sheriff just demonstrated. If you can't get internet, you can't get your phone either. So maybe some of the fiber, if it's undergrounded, might be equivalent. But I can tell you, I'm going to be long gone before AT&T puts fiber all over Mendocino County.
And you bring up a good point. Why are we putting the cart before the horse today? I don't think that that's a good plan for anybody. And if they started tomorrow to build this system out, to make sure that we were going to have fiber and we were going to have good connectivity, when we can see, when we can all come together and say, wow, this really works, well, then by golly, at that point in time, let's go ahead and get rid of the copper lines. But let's not do it until that is done, because we're going to have... I'm telling you, that is building the aircraft mid-flight.
And Loretta, we believe that we've heard that AT&T has wanted to get rid of copper a long time. Do you know how far back that goes? It's been quite a few years.
Well, currently. I know they tried in 2006 to get rid of copper, and mm-hmm. even the Schwarzenegger Commission said, there's no good alternative. And that was when fiber was in its infancy. Mm-hmm. But we all had cell phones then, too, pretty much. Mm-hmm. So, thank goodness in 2006, the commission finally came to a census and said no. And ultimately, that's my message today. Just say no. This is a railroad job. As the sheriff very clearly said, we are putting the cart before the horse. They are promising something they can't deliver. And if they even could deliver, we have no idea how much that's going to cost. And like California needs billions of dollars in extra costs just to have phone service in an emergency today in this economy.
Mm-hmm. Now, the AT&T is saying reassuring things like, well, we're not going to take it. Nobody's going to suffer. We're not going to leave anybody hanging. We're going to take out some now where there's already alternatives. And those are our little blue areas, which cover just about everything. And then there's our little lavender areas, which we might take out in the future. What is your assessment of that?
Well, one, follow the money. They're going to take out the stuff that's the most expensive to maintain without regard to who's hurt. And we know that because the commission, the PUC, told the utilities, told AT&T to give them a list of all the tribes that are going to be affected by ending landline service. And the list just came in last month. Five single-spaced pages of all the tribes are going to be affected.
Oh.
And I can tell you, most of those tribes are not located in downtown San Francisco.
No, they're not.
So they are not starting with the urban areas where Google Fiber might already be in. They're going to start with the most, expensive to maintain areas, and those people are going to just be left high and dry and over a barrel.
Well, and that's the issue up here in Mendocino County is almost all of our Native American tribes, with the exceptions of the ones that are right here in the Ukiah area, Redwood Valley, but even in Hopland, you look at where the Hopland Band of Pomos is, you get out in that corner, they don't have a lot of cell service. They have very little cell service once you get past Pratt Ranch. Run up to Round Valley. Think about how far that is. If we lose cell service there, especially anywhere in that valley, if we don't have copper lines, nobody's getting out. Leightonville Rancher is right on the ragged edge of getting cell service off Avocado Peak. And when the power goes out, when we had those fires before and we had the PSPS, we suddenly learned that these cell sites had battery backup, which were completely inadequate to make the entire length of the PSPS.
You know, there's also the Lifeline service that's being affected right along with this whole thing here. Do you want to talk a little bit about that? I think, Matt, some of the tribes are going to experience huge cost increases with this when they get rid of their services that they're used to. And Loretta, what is the Lifeline service, and how does that play in all of this?
Well, that's the dirty little secret here. The AT&T is saying, hey, relieve us from this responsibility that we've had for over 100 years to provide landline service, and we'll promise you something in the future that we're not going to tell you how much it costs. So right now, because we, the consumer, have paid to put a landline virtually everywhere in California, everybody can access that landline service, and we have programs, because AT&T is a regulated utility, that reduces the cost for low-income people. Once you're going to cell service, then you're going to Washington, D.C. to ask for programs to reduce the cost for cell service. And who knows about, you know, fiber service, and who knows about voice over IP, because that isn't controlled at the state level. So the dirty little secret here is they are going to increase rates like crazy for basic service when we already have basic service that works, and we already have programs that somewhat protect low-income people from price gouging.
Let me mention to listeners that we're speaking with two guests this evening about the topic of is the Public Utilities Commission going to allow AT&T to drop support and for landlines throughout the county, or throughout the state for that matter. And we're speaking with Sheriff Matt Kendall is with us this evening, as is Loretta Lynch, past president of the Public Utilities Commission. And during the second half of the program, if you'd like to call in with a question or comment, the number is 895-2448 in area code 707, of course, 895-2448.
So maybe we should talk a little bit about what people can do about this, and then we'll repeat that again at the end. But there are some in-person hearings come out. You mentioned, Loretta, that there's very few, but lucky for us, one of those in-person opportunities to comment is actually Ukiah. It's February 22nd.
There's one week.
One at 2 p.m. in the afternoon, and another one at 6 p.m. at the Mendocino County Board of Supervisors. And then, of course, you can also comment on the CPUC website. There's a variety of ways to comment online. And then also, who else should we be connecting? You talked a little bit about there's a consumer advocacy group connected with the CPUC?
There is. It's called the Public Advocates, and they are trying to fight back, but they're pretty outmanned and outgunned when it comes to the legions of lobbyists and lawyers that AT&T has. What I'd say is it is time for the citizens to contact their elected representatives. Assemblymember Wood and State Senator McGuire should know that people are concerned. Note this, here we are going forward with these public hearings, and then at the end of April, there'll be evidentiary hearings among the parties. But AT&T did not even notify their own customers as of December. They had to be ordered by the PUC to notify their customers that they had applied a year ago to yank their landlines. Can you imagine? So just now, customers are being notified for the very first time in their bills. And I don't know about you, but I don't always read those bill inserts. So here's the problem. People don't know this is happening, and we need to let our elected representatives know AT&T, as the sheriff said, is putting the cart before the horse. It ain't broke. The whole system of landlines actually works very well. It's the only reliable system for an emergency. And we shouldn't let the PUC and AT&T break what ain't broke. So just say no, and we should all be calling Mr. Wood and Mr. McGuire to say, make the PUC stop doing this. Tell the PUC they cannot spend their time processing very fast AT&T's application to leave us all high and dry.
And
just
we do have some
stop the proceeding, end it, and just say no.
Well, we have three. So all three lines are lit up. So I'll just take a first caller here. Caller, you're live on the air. What's your first name and from where are you calling?
My name's Michael, and I'm calling from Calistoga.
Oh,
So let her rip. You're on the air. Michael, you're on the air.
Oh, my goodness. Well, listen, I want to thank you so much for publicizing this this issue. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you very clearly, actually. Turn off your radio in the background, please, though.
Off the radio. Okay. Sorry about that.
I'm glad you can pick us up that far.
Yeah, actually, we get you loud and clear because we're up here on the ridge line of my Thomas Mountain chair, right on the county line. And I love KZYX. But anyway, we are in a similar situation. It's not just we're relatively remote and rural here, too. But I mean, this affects thousands and there are millions of people probably. And we, through all, you know, the fires, we've been evacuated three times in the last, you know, over a 5-year period. And the landlines, like you keep saying, that's the only darn thing that works. And when we lose power, which is not unusual, you know, everything else is down. The cell towers might be burned up, but the AT&T line is the only thing that works. We called our neighbors. This literally, it's not an exaggeration to say it's a life and death issue, because we called people that had no idea there was a fast-moving fire in 2020, the Glass Fire, and they called other neighbors, and some of the people we called, they had no idea that what was happening, and 20 minutes later, their house was burning.
Wow!
You know, this is no joke. And that this for-profit company, you know, I love the theme song there, Rovix, you know, it's the commons. For crying out loud, these people have made their profits, and their feet should be held to the fire, no pun intended, but it's super critical that this not be allowed to happen. And I feel like the PUC has always been kind of in the pocket of the people that they're supposed to be regulating, and to some degree, I wish that these were not private for-profit companies, including PG&E, by the way. But and it's not the people on the ground; the line people are hardworking, great people, and they do their best. But the fact is, the management of these companies are rolling in the dough. And so I want to thank you so much for shining a light on this, and I can't believe that you're just going to rush this through. And I hope that people will do what I did, which was go to the PUC website, and you can write in comments there. And there's many, many, many comments where you can read people just basically saying what we're all talking about here. Even with the short of this regulation, we've had our AT&T line has been down now for the past month from these most recent storms. And you try and call them and you talk to somebody in the Philippines or whatever, you know, and they if this is a public utility, they have a certain responsibility, I think, to step up here. And this is BS that they, be allowed to just step away from something because it's not profitable. And I'm sorry, I'm gaffing on here a bit, but
we'll take the next caller. But thank you. I mean, your point is clear, and we appreciate your calling. And I think you set a record for the distance from someone's call to reach us here. I'm glad you get a clear signal for us there.
Yeah, we sure do. We've been listening since the get-go here.
Okay.
We met Ron O'Brien one time.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
Okay, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Caller, please hold. There's one person ahead of you. And caller, you're live on the air. What's your first name and from where are you calling?
I'm from Philo, California, and my first name is Gregory.
Gregory.
I think what we're doing is we are stating we're pretty much in agreement. It's almost like we're preaching to the choir. But the people that we really need to be in touch with is our governor, whether he's president or whether he remains his governor, and realize PG&E knows all these scenarios that we're talking about. It's not like they're off on some vacant place. But the lure of profit, you know, they can say to us, well, we'll take care of all the, you won't have telephone poles anymore. And just think of what the scenery would look like without telephone poles. So there are going to be lures that ignore the needs of the people who have less variability to manage factors, that, and to kind of cut off a portion of the population as being less relevant. So I think we really do need to get some powerful people, whether it's senators or congressmen or state representatives, and a wide range of, and I'm sure you're working on this, but a wide range of organization that will make this a really hot potato issue.
Okay, we'll talk about a few of those organizations in a few minutes. So thanks for your call. Let me go on to the third caller, and then we'll go back to our guests for a few minutes.
Okay, well, I don't want to start repeating myself. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Gregory.
Bye-bye. Bye. And caller, you're live on the air. Thanks for waiting patiently. From where are you calling?
Fort Bragg. Thank you for this subject. It is very timely and important. Just a quick comment. It's not just out in the sticks. We live on the south edge of Fort Bragg, and we don't have cell service in our house. We're dependent on our landline to get our messages and our calls with any regularity. Also, when the power goes out, it's important that we are able to communicate. The only other comment I'll have is that we pay $95 a month for a landline when one of our most expensive utility bills, that and PG&E, which are both regulated by the PUC.
Wow, yeah, it's true. Thank you for reminding us. Yeah, most of the coast has trouble with a cell service. So, yeah, thank you for that.
All right, thanks for your call. We'll go to our guests.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. So do you have a reaction, Matt?
Well, the caller who was calling from south of Fort Bragg, I mean, every time that I hit the roundabout right there at Simpson Lane, I lose cell service. Yeah. And that's what I'm talking about with these areas. And when you look at the maps that they provided and whatnot, I'm sorry, but you can have a house that these folks may get good cell service, but the neighbor does not. And when you think about the size of our parcels and whatnot, I live kind of in the middle of nowhere between Fort Bragg and, between Boonville and Ukiah. And I know that down the road from me, neighbor's got a place that's up on a hill. I'm down in a small valley. He can get cell service. I can't. Does the map say that I can? I'm telling you, I can't get cell service there. So I don't think that that's being looked at in the fashion that it should be. And I think that we've got some real issues here with building that aircraft mid-flight, plus, you know, trying to make sure that, and I'm one of those people, I believe in Hanlon's razor. I truly believe that you should never equate malice to what can be explained by foolishness. However, if someone is not listening to what the people are saying, they are choosing to be foolish to it, and that's where the malice comes in. I'm afraid that's, if you plug your ears and pretend like it's not happening, I'm sorry, we should start to equate a little bit of malice to it if nobody's listening.
And Loretta, any comment?
Oh, I totally agree with Sheriff Kendall on that. And I would equate more than malice. I would say it's greed. It's just out and out greed. Because AT&T wants to walk away from a system they've made millions of dollars from that we paid them. And it's not like landline service is cheap. And they're doing it with no clear, viable alternative to ensure uninterrupted and reliable communication services, both every day, as the sheriff was noting, but most importantly, during times of emergency. And California has had more than its share of times of emergency.
Indeed.
Between the storms and the wildfires and just the, you know, PG&E's terrible systems. Mm-hmm. So we need these landlines. And so I just wanted to tell you that there is one legislator, Assemblywoman Gail Pellerin from Santa Cruz, who wrote the president of the PUC on February 1st and said, hey, deny this application. This is a health and safety issue for my constituents. And AT&T has shown absolutely no clear, viable alternative. We're not even talking about cost for the same cost. Mm-hmm. So there's no good reason except for to give AT&T more money for the PUC to approve this application.
And when you think about the Santa Cruz Mountains, I'm sorry, a whole lot of it looks a lot like Mendocino County. Yeah. If they spun me around three times and pulled the blindfold off, I wouldn't know whether I was in Mendocino County or Santa Cruz sometimes.
Let's take an additional call here. Caller, you're live on the air. From where are you calling? Caller, you're live on the air.
Good evening. Hold on, I'm turning off my radio.
Please do.
Yes, hi there. I'm calling from the big city of Boonville. Mm-hmm. It's Pippa, and I thank you so much. I just happened to tune in. This is such an important thing, but I didn't hear the beginning of it, so forgive me if I'm asking repetitive questions. Is this just relative to California?
No.
This issue, or is it national?
Well,
it's California.
Our program tonight is about California, but the AT&T has it's well over a dozen states.
Maybe
it
doesn't have 21 states.
That many?
All the southern
where
states.
Where they say that they have been approved for this for dropping service. Now I don't have reports on that. So
well, it may not be dropping service completely, but they've gotten quote unquote some sort of relief through. So this is going on all over the country, but of course our show here is about California.
Okay. So we've just got to take action here in California. Phone our guys.
Yeah. Well,
yes.
And we'll get to that in a minute. We have some other additional information to pass along.
Thank you.
That.
Thank okay. you very much. And thanks for bringing it up. It's super important.
Yeah. Thanks, Pippa.
Yeah.
Yep. Thanks. Okay. All righty. Thanks, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Yes, and Loretta is encouraging you to call all the officials that you know and have this discussion with him.
Well, let's mention a few of those details. The Senator McGuire, he has a number in Sacramento. That is 916-651-4002. And his local office here in Mendocino County is at area code 707, of course, 468-8914. And Assemblymember Wood, he has a Sacramento office, number 916-319-2002. And his local number here in Mendocino County, 707-445-7014.
Seems like there's a half a dozen people running for the state assembly seat that Wood is vacating, and that might be a good place to talk to about it. To go to all these candidates' meet and greets and ask them where they stand on this.
There's a forum right now that it may be ending by this time.
It's going on in Ukiah.
That's at Ukiah City Hall right now, but people are either there or maybe here, but not both. I want to mention to go online and submit a comment. To do that, you can go to an address which is a little long to give over the air, but you can go reach it by going to the www.cpuc for California Public Utilities Commission, cpuc.ca.gov, and then you'll see on there a link for news and updates. And then from that page, there's an item called CPUC Invites You to Public Forums on AT&T's Requests Regarding Voice Service Obligations. So that's a mouthful for one sentence, but anyway, CPUC invites you to public forums. You'll see that there. And at that point, you can add a comment. By the way, as of last night, there was 3,197 comments submitted, overwhelmingly against this. And then, again, the in-person forum, there are three of them throughout the state. One of them was mentioned earlier in the town of Indio. The other one that Loretta was reaching for earlier, Clovis, is going to be a second location, and the third location right here in Mendocino County at the supervisor's chambers. They're on Low Gap Road, and that is next Thursday, the 22nd. There are two different sessions, 2 p.m. and 6 p.m. So show up live, and then there will be one other forum. That's on March 19th. There will be actually two that day. This is an online forum, so you can attend online or you can call into it. I'll give you that information. It's March 19th, again, 2 o'clock and 6 o'clock p.m. And the webcast address, you can reach it by that via that PUC number, but the other address I will give you here, it's www.adminmonitor, admin-monitor.com, adminmonitor.com/CA/CPUC. And then there's a number of public meetings at that site, and you'll scroll down to March 19th, and there's a listing for 2 o'clock and a listing for 6 o'clock, so you can attend any of those forums. Now, the telephone number to attend is 1-800-857-1917. Again, 1-800-857-1917. And there's a passcode. So that is the passcode 603-2788. And then the pound signs. Again, 603-2788. And then the pound sign to enter that.
I might make a little zigzag here because we're talking about AT&T and somebody mentioned, you know, PG&E. The utility tax in general is also an issue right now. And the Grassroots Institute over on the coast is trying to get people to oppose the overall utility tax. And maybe, Loretta, you might know more about this, but it's a flat tax. And so there would be a disincentive for people saving energy. There's a lot of different reasons why it's not a good progressive way to go. But meanwhile, back at AT&T.
Yes, meanwhile, to Loretta, you mentioned a couple of independent entities, and I have a couple here, so I don't know if we overlap here. Let me mention them. TURN is called the Utility Reform Network, and they are at the web address, www.turn.org. And you can select from their main page the link for Protect Our Emergency and Phone Communications. And then there'll be instructions there how you can help through that particular organization. The other organization is called Save Landlines, and that's at savelandlines.org.
And so Loretta, that's one of your major things that you're telling people is to contact your representatives and get them.
Absolutely. Mr. Wood and Mr. McGuire have outsized power in this legislature, given their positions in leadership, and they could pressure the PUC to stop this application, or at the least have real evidentiary hearings and real public participation hearings. I mean, frankly, it's laughable that for a big change of this magnitude, they'd have only three places in the entire state of California on three different days that people could come and comment. That's just laughable. And that is not the case in most other major changes that the PUC considers. And they're also only going to have 3 days of evidentiary hearings. And they've already told the parties they don't have sufficient time to prepare. AT&T probably spent years putting this application together, and the people who are opposing them have just a couple months.
Amazing.
And that's just ridiculous in terms of actually an administrative trial. So that makes me very worried that the PUC is not interested in creating a full, robust record about how this is going to create problems. And how this is it's a half-baked idea that hasn't been thought through, that's going to cost more money and really put lives in danger. Why would anybody do this? They should just put a stop to it, just like the PUC did in 2006.
One of the questions I have for Matt is about what kind of association of sheriffs, or more than one association of sheriffs, is there to comment, influence Sacramento, influence the governor, what have you, on an issue like this.
And that was that meeting that I was in today with the California State Sheriff's Association. But also, every Monday, myself and most of the Northern California sheriffs have a one-hour meeting on Monday. You know, a lot of times it only lasts 20 minutes. But we discuss these issues, and we discuss how do we better serve the population. Now, I come from a family of firemen. I'm the black sheep. I'm the only cop. But my brother Luke, my younger brothers are twins, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. My mom wanted three saints, and look how close she came, right? Wow. Anyway, my brother Mark was the chief of Northern Region, chief of operations for Northern Regions for Cal Fire. His twin Luke was our Mendocino Ranger Unit chief here, and my father was a fireman for Cal Fire. We had several discussions over the last few years about how to better serve during these emergencies. And let's face it, the state of California, and particularly the county of Mendocino, Lake, and Humboldt, we have become the land of biblical plagues, right? We have. I mean, we've had a pandemic. We've had fires. We've had floods. The only thing that we are missing is frogs and locusts at this point. And so as we had this discussion regarding how do we better serve, and we have these law enforcement mutual aid meetings, the most important thing is communication every time. We can't take that off the table. And if we hurt that communication in any way, shape, or form, then the right hand does not know what the left hand is doing. And with the number of personnel that we have in Mendocino County, we have to work with the public every single time because it's a partnership. We all are in the same ditch digging in the same direction, but communication keeps us going. Take one leg of communication off. How many people are going to get hurt?
That sounds like it would be a very powerful voice to the PUC. Won't they listen to you?
No, I'm fairly certain that they will. I'm absolutely certain that they will. But what has me concerned is it goes back to an uninformed majority can be greatly influenced by a very informed minority.
Yes, we're seeing that on several different levels right now.
Well, and Sheriff, I hope that the California State Sheriff's Association, plus the fire chiefs and the first responders in general, will write a formal letter to the PUC telling them about how dangerous this proposal is.
Yes.
Because unless it's in writing, I mean, obviously you can also show up and comment, then the PUC doesn't really have to listen to what you have to say. It won't be part of the formal administrative proceeding. So I really hope that all the groups, and frankly, individual sheriffs as well, and individual first responders, let the PUC know what a cockamamie, half-baked idea this is.
To the caller calling in, I think we're a little behind our last minute where we can take a call, so I do apologize, but we've just got about a minute and a half left, so I think we'll spend that with our guests.
Yeah, but thank you for calling. And thank you to the other people that called also. Yeah, we are just about out of time, and I'm so grateful for Loretta and Matt for being with us tonight because people really need to know about this and that. Like you were saying, that a few people who know all about it can control a lot of people that don't, so maybe our listeners will help spread the word too to their friends.
And Loretta, you're saying very clearly important and significant then to make a call to Senator McGuire or Assemblyman Wood's office and have your say, and then have your say at one of the online forums coming up, either the 2 in a week, 2 o'clock and 6 o'clock p.m. at the Board of Supervisors Chamber right here in Ukiah, or online, that goes down to March 26th, I think it was, at the online forums. And all that information is out at the PUC site at the cpuc.ca.gov.
And all the assembly candidates meet and greets.
Okay. Thank you for being our guest today, Sheriff Matt and Loretta Lynch, former president of the CPUC. It's
thank
been
you.
A pleasure hosting you, and I hope the CPUC makes a wise decision when the time comes.
Thanks for focusing on this, guys.
All right. You folks have a good evening. Thanks for having us on. Mm-hmm.